Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the CARES Earnings Call Full Year 2024. My name is Brika, and I will be today's moderator coordinating your call. During the presentation, you can register to ask a question by pressing star followed by one on your telephone keypad. Otherwise, you can type your questions in the Q&A box provided online today. I will now hand over to your host, Tarek Sliman, to begin. So, Tarek, please go ahead.
Thank you, Brika. Good afternoon and good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on CARES 2024 earnings presentation today. I'm Tarek Sliman from JP Morgan's MENA research team, and we are delighted to have with us today the management team of CARE, represented by Dr. Abdulaziz Al-Abed, Managing Director and CEO of the company, Jahan Zibkhan, CFO of the company, Nasir Ali, Chief Strategy Officer, and Alia Balba, Director of Investor Relations. I will hand over to Alia now for a brief presentation on the company's performance. Over to you, Alia.
Thank you, Tarek. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We are happy to share that we ended the year on a positive note with strong operational and financial performance. CARE continues to grow, with patients' number increasing 14% year-on-year, driving revenues to grow by 20% year-on-year to reach $1.3 billion. This trickled down the income statement to net profits, reaching $298 million, up 24% year-on-year. During this call, Dr. Abdulaziz will start with an overview on our performance and strategic direction, followed by Mr. Jahan Zibkhan, who will take you through a detailed breakdown of our financials for 2024. With that, and then we will leave the floor for Q&A. With that, I hand over to you, Dr. Abdulaziz.
Thank you, Alia. And good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. 2024 was a year of expansion and operational improvement for CARE, which had a positive impact on the financial performance. If you can follow me through with the slides that we're presenting, you can see that our patient numbers grew by 14% year-on-year, reaching 742,000, supported by increased referrals from the Ministry of Health, GOSI, and insurance companies as well. As a reminder, if you can look at the upper right-hand side of the slide, you will see the new branches, which are the Haram branch, which was opened in December 23 near Mecca's Grand Holy Mosque, providing emergency and critical care medical services. Al-Balad branch in Jeddah, which was acquired in the fourth quarter of 23, specializes in long-term care as well as palliative care and home care. In the fourth quarter of 2024, we acquired also Al-Salam Hospital in Riyadh and launched ReLib, our mental health platform. These additions, along with the expansion of the bed capacity at our Malaz branch, increased the total bed count by 72% year over year to 1,128 beds by the end of 2024. Despite this expansion, bed utilization improved quarter after quarter throughout 2024, starting at 65% in the first quarter and reaching almost 80% in the fourth quarter, resulting in a utilization rate of 68% in 2024. At the right-hand bottom side of your screen, if you're looking at the presentation, the average length of stay rose by 52% to 12 days, mainly due to Al-Balad's focus on long-term care and a higher number of long-term care patients from the Ministry of Health and the transfer patients under the new Prince Sultan Medical City contract. A stronger client mix and higher referral volumes drove a 20% increase in revenue year over year. If you look at the top left-hand slide, where you can appreciate the growth over the past 5 years. EBITDA increased by 25% year-on-year, and net profit grew by 24%, reaching $298 million in 2024. Looking ahead, our priorities remain expanding our business, diversifying revenue streams, and further improving efficiency. Now, if you can walk through the presentation, and if you go to the next slide, you will I will take you through the strategic initiatives supporting these goals before driving into the financial details. Now, we have presented this in the past, so for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through all the slides, but you can appreciate that further projects are mentioned at the far end of the expansion column, where you can see that there's an ongoing M&A pipeline potential with potential bed capacity increase. We don't have any thing to announce yet, but there's an ongoing search and discussions to expand our bed capacity. And at the bottom right, you can see with the digital automation strategic initiative, we're looking at further projects to integrate the ERP for economies of scale and ensure digital compliance for MOS. Now, I'm going to go to slide number 5, where we talk about the Salam Hospital. As you are aware, we announced last October that we acquired the Salam Hospital in Riyadh. It's a 100-bed Class C facility offering a broad range of healthcare services. At the time of the acquisition, the hospital faced underutilization and financial challenges. However, we secured it for 44 million SAR, which translates into 440,000 per bed, presenting a strong opportunity at a reasonable price. Its proximity to CARE Medical Al Rawabi facility allows for synergies in supply chain management and operational efficiencies, with a strategic focus on continuing to serve more Class C patients. As shown on the slide, since the acquisition, if you look at the revenue segment, Salam has made steady progress, with revenues posting consistent double-digit growth and losses narrowing significantly. These improvements reflect better management practices and early cost optimizations. While hospital turnaround takes more than 12 months, the performance suggests that we may see results much sooner than that. Our team has a strong track record of transforming underperforming facilities, and we are confident that we will deliver improvements here as well. With that, I will hand it over to our CFO, Jazz, to walk you through the operational trends.
Thank you, Dr. Abdulli. Good afternoon, everyone. We appreciate you joining us today. So as we mentioned before, we served over 740,000 patients in 2024, marking a 14% increase over the previous year. The growth was driven by a 14% rise in outpatient visits, supported by strong performance in the third and fourth quarters, which benefited from the absence of seasonal effects seen in the first half of the year. Inpatient admissions also increased through a more moderate pace of 4%, with additional volumes coming from our newly acquired branches. Earlier in the year, inpatient admissions were impacted by the conclusion of the National Guard contract in the previous year and the expansion of bed capacity in the first quarter in preparation for the Prince Sultan Medical City contract. As these effects stabilized in the third quarter of 2024 and patient flow from the Prince Sultan contract started in July, inpatient admissions rebounded, accelerating to 34% year-on-year growth in the fourth quarter. We also took steps to reallocate some of our bed capacities strategically, so to ensure that better service for our key clients, while increasing referral from the Ministry of Health GoSee and insurance providers. These efforts have helped us navigate the evolving landscape and position us well for the continued growth in the underserved Saudi market in our view. Now, if you talk about the financial trend for the year, our revenue grew by 20% year on year, surpassing the 1 billion riyal mark for the second consecutive year and reaching around 1.3 billion riyals. This growth outpaced the rise in the cost of revenues, leading to improved gross margins in 2024. The lower gross profit margin in the fourth quarter of 2024 was primarily due to purchase price allocation adjustment for chronic care, higher payroll costs as we continue to attract and retain a highly qualified workforce, and the launch of the ReLive mental health platform. Operating expenses in 2024 increased at a moderate pace of 28%, supported by a decline in the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter drop in operating expenses was mainly due to the reversal of provision for certain legal cases that were deemed no longer necessary based on assessments by management and our external legal advisor. As a result, EBITDA for 2024 rose by 25% to 377 million, while net profit increased by 24% to 300 million riyals almost. The net profit margin for the year stood at 23%, reflecting a 0.8 percentage point improvement from the previous year. If we can look deep with in-depth the revenue trends for the year, we did see additional referral from Ministry of Health and other government agencies, including GOSI and insurance companies, which remained our key drivers for revenue growth. The cash segment, which faced pressures in the first 9 months of 24 due to declining demand for bariatric surgeries, returned to growth at a modest single-digit rate, supported by targeted efforts by the management. To address the challenges in cash-based revenue, we focused on strengthening our partnerships and shifting towards higher demand services such as dental and cosmetic treatments. We also expanded our service portfolio by introducing the ReLive Mental Health Center in the fourth quarter of 2024, which added around 800,000 riyals of revenue for the quarter. The Rawabi and Malaz branch remain our primary revenue contributors, accounting for nearly 90% of total revenue, while Al Balad is also gaining traction. In terms of our cost overview, our total cost of revenue in 2024 increased by 18%, mainly due to higher salaries and benefits aimed at attracting and retaining a qualified workforce and to support future revenue growth. Salaries and benefits accounted for 64% of the cost of revenue, with additional increases in spending on medicines, consumables, and repairs and maintenance. Operating expenses rose by 28%, primarily due to higher G&A expenses related to the consolidation of new assets, as well as increased provisions for credit losses related to insurance companies. These provisions, the ECL provisions specifically, are expected to be reversed in the first half of 2025 as settlements progress. We remain focused on reducing insurance claim rejection rates and have achieved positive results with one of the largest payers. Lower recovery rates also contributed to an increase in provision for doubtful accounts, further impacting the overall expense. This growth in ECL and doubtful debt provisions was partially offset by the reversal of provisions against the legal cases that were deemed no longer required. In total, expenses grew by 19% year-on-year in 2024. Now, if we can we can move on to the balance sheet. By the end of 2024, CARE's balance sheet remained solid, with total assets reaching 2.5 billion riyals, reflecting a 13% growth year-on-year. The main asset growth was driven by the acquisition of land in Jeddah and Al Salam Hospital, contributing to a 36% increase in non-current assets. This was partially offset by a decline in current assets as lower time deposits and cash and cash equivalents outweighed the increase in trade receivables. Liabilities rose by 15%, mainly due to a 27% increase in non-current liabilities driven by higher lease obligation from the Al Salam acquisition. This was partly balanced by a reduction in zakat provisions following the finalization of assessment for 2019 till 2022, which led to a net reversal of related provisions. In 2024, the cash conversion cycle improved significantly, shortening from 157 days in the previous year to 124 days. This was driven by faster receivers collection, while the payables outstanding period saw a slight decrease in inventory turnover was longer. Net debt stands at a negative 79 million riyals, which is a 78% reduction year to date, influenced by increased total debt, along with a decline in cash equivalents and time deposits. Delve deeper into our receivers management. As shown in our presentation, CARE's gross receivables increased by 42% year-to-date, mainly driven by receivers acquired from Al Salam Hospital, in addition to slower recovery rates from insurance companies and GOSI. While we managed to reduce outstanding receivables from Ministry of Health and other government entities by around 20 million riyals, the slower payment recovery from GOSI and the insurance segment contributed to the overall increase. Currently, insurance companies and the Ministry of Health and government and other government accounts for more than 30% of total trade receivables each. The age profile of receivers saw some deterioration, with most new additions falling with the more than 12-month bracket, mainly due to the receivers acquired from Al Salam Hospital. Managing receivables remains a key focus as we continue working to enhance cash flow performance. The increase in receivables in 2024 has influenced our cash flows, which we will review next. In 2024, the cash flow from operations totaled 245 million riyals, down 48% year-on-year, mainly due to increased working capital needs and zakat payments, including settlements for prior years. However, fourth quarter cash flow was particularly strong at 299 million riyals, supported by a 273 million riyal payment from GOSI for outstanding claims, which helped improve working capital and liquidity. Capital expenditure reached 275 million riyals, driven by our expansion plans in Jeddah, investment in the Relive mental health platform, facility renovations at the Rawabi branch, medical equipment purchases, and acquisition of Al Salam. Net cash outflow from financing activities stood at 97 million riyals, primarily due to dividend payments and share repurchases. Despite these factors, CARE ended the year with a solid cash position of 567 million riyals in cash equivalents and time deposits, keeping us well positioned for future investments and growth. This wraps up our summary earnings presentation. And we are now happy to take any question you may have.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, you can do so by pressing star followed by one on your telephone keypad. Otherwise, if you have joined online, you can register a written question in the Q&A box provided. Just as a quick reminder, that is star followed by one.
Maybe I'll start with two questions from my end.
Yes, please.
Perfect. So thank you for the presentation. I mean, my questions revolve more around the strategy and the expansion. First question is, could you please explain maybe the rationale behind expanding into the VIP space in north of Riyadh, noting that the premium scene overall is becoming more crowded, and especially we have a lot of operators coming into the area? I mean, and as well, if you can elaborate a bit on managing a network of VIP or premium care, A, VIP and A, B and C within Riyadh. I mean, how do you see this kind of well, in terms of synergies, in terms of optimization? That would be my first question. My second question is on the Class C expansion and the Saddam and the good job you've done there. So after what we've seen in terms of losses going down significantly in 3 months, should we kind of expect you to consider another expansion within this class beyond Amsterdam? And will you be looking mainly at maybe distressed assets in order to turn those around and unlock value from those? Thank you.
Let me take the second question, and then I'll hand it over to Mr. Nasir to address the first question. In terms of Amsterdam, it was an opportunistic acquisition. We thought that it's a distressed asset that we can get for a lower price. Now, the proximity to our facility made it much easier in terms of building up the synergies, mobilizing staff, improving efficiencies in terms of staff cost, housing of the staff, supply chain, storage, etc. Plus, we were able to mobilize easily the staff between the two facilities to improve the performance of the hospital. So we thought of it as an opportunity, but it's not a strategic plan to expand into that segment, and we don't have in our strategy anything to expand further in Class C hospitals. However, that mentioned, we're still open to look into further opportunities depending on the capacity of the management team to make that turnaround, but it's not within our strategy framework. Now, in terms of the Class A VIP segment.
If you look at Class A VIP segment, and again, I think, first of all, I think we need to be clear on the nomenclature of it, right? So generally when people are, or analysts, like consultancy firms, when they look at the segmentation in the market, for them premium or VIP is a very big nomenclature in which they will probably put in Class A, B, VIP. So the demand profile usually ends up getting skewed. We recently revalidated our strategy as far as the market entry is concerned. So we looked at the demand segmentation in each segment in quite a lot of detail. Now, yes, there are hospitals that are opening up in VIPA and premium, and there are hospitals that are coming up in other segments, but from a demand projection and supply situation, we do see that there is still an equation of imbalance that exists between Class A and VIP and Class B and C and below. Yeah, there is likely to be more of shortage in B and below versus A and VIP, but A and VIP by themselves, also there is a shortage of beds coming up based on all the projections of new hospitals opening up. Now, looking at it from a A and VIP standpoint, from a strategic perspective, when you look towards the long term and when you are seeing a lot of growth that's going to come into the insurance sector, a lot of it is basically Class A and VIP accounts for 65% to 70% of the value in all private insurance gross premiums underwritten. So essentially, the real value growth is going to come from those particular segments. The second thing is that while B segment is a good paymaster for us currently, keep in mind that when you look at the B segment is always, for most hospitals, is split between government payers and its an insurance payer. So essentially, it's a model that does make you inherently dependent on large entities which account for a larger share of your business. So from a diversification perspective and from a value perspective, it's always good to target VIP and A segment going forward. Now, again, the question that will come from that is that as far as our plans are concerned, we are going to take our unique value proposition and we are building a brand around it. And when we do enter into that segment, when inshallah the Nargis Hospital goes live, end of 2027, beginning of 28, it will be with an international partner, reputed partner that can help us really put credibility around that particular offering in addition to our brand. So that's just like a quick summary of the hows and whys of the premium segment. Have I covered your points, Tariq, or is there still a pending question in your mind?
No, that's fair. That's fair. We can take questions from attendees if that's possible.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, you can do so by pressing star one. Otherwise, you can type your questions in the Q&A box provided online today. We will pause it briefly whilst questions are registered. We have a question on the phone lines from Marshall Al-Twaji with S&D Capital, Ali Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for the... am I audible now?
Yeah, you are.
Okay. So, good afternoon, and thank you for the presentation. I just have a couple of questions from my end. First, if you can get an update on Salam Hospital and the insurance contracts. Are they finalized, or we still have more than a contract to conclude for the name? And then if also you can give us a guidance on your expected break-even. I understand that we were near break-even in December. However, it is considered as a strong month or a strong period for the industry. Do you expect that we will see a net break-even for Salam in 2025? And on my next question, if you can give us an update on your mental health care facility in terms of utilization rates, and did we see any cash patients in this facility other than MOH referrals? And we saw 100... please.
Sorry, Michael, just for us not to forget the questions. I'm not sure I get the question about the insurance companies, but they had contact with the insurance companies. However, we're revising all of them now, and we had several meetings with the insurance companies, so already we're discussing the pricing, and we're working on the relationship with the insurance companies to improve the referrals for that segment. Given that we have a very good relationship with them, from our existing facilities, I can tell you that they were happy that we took over Salam because they were optimistic that the quality of care would definitely be better. In terms of financial performance in 25,
we don't give guidance.
But you can, like I mentioned, we're confident that we will make the turnaround much faster than what typically happens. However, keep in mind that, yes, December is a good month, but January is also a good month. So typically you'll see the slowdown in Ramadan and the summer season. At that facility, we have referrals from the MOH. We have cash patients as well. And most of its business is with the insurance companies.
And just to add, Michal, here, this that Q3 and Q4 were stronger for all healthcare facilities in the kingdom. Although, but Salam was not doing that well, which is evident from their performance in October, right? So the turnaround that has happened is the quarter four helped as well, but the efforts of management to make some quick fixes assisted us in reducing these losses, and Al Salam was a loss-making facility for the whole of 2023 as well. Can you remind me of your second question, please?
The second question was related to the mental health care facility, and did we see any cash patients? How is the utilization of our 45 beds as of now, or we're just seeing MOH referrals for the facility?
So most of our patients are cash patients, in fact. The MOH opened the new platform for referrals of patients, but we haven't, or they haven't been very active in referring patients. So most of our business is cash patients, and that's something what we expected, that because of the high demand and the no options or possibilities for taking care of these patients in a secure, private place. So Yes, it's what we suspect. However, the occupancy rate is going as per our expectations in the first quarter, which is quarter four of 24. It was only 1 month, so it was a slow month, but things are improving a lot because of a lot of marketing efforts that we've done with the private clinics as well as on the social networks.
Clear, Victoria. I think I'll ask you. I just have one last question, if I may. First, looking at your number of patients growth, mashallah, and even looking at the like-for-like growth, we're seeing a positive 7% for inpatient and almost 12% for outpatients. And we've seen the record high top line this quarter. However, when we normalized our one-off that we saw in this quarter, and considering also Salam losses, we're looking at normalized earnings of 42 to 44 million in Q4 this year. Are we expanding outpatients and we're noticing the growth of volumes in our current facilities with diluted margins, even when we exclude the Salam losses and the other one-offs and the elevated ACL as well for the quarter? Because I remember that we discussed that we'll be increasing prices with our insurance contracts. However, we continue seeing the margin pressure in Q4.
Yes, so if you look at the profit for quarter four, it's around 87 million. And if you remove the one-off, it goes down to 45 million, right? Now, compared to last quarter four of 2023, if we use that as a benchmark, we made around 63 million real profit at that time. However, it included 6 million reals of reversal of Zakat provisions, which was due to decisions being made in our favor for assessment year of 2015 and 18. So normalized profit for 2023 was around 57 million. Right now, going by the same margins, we should have made around 70 million reals in Q4. Now, when we start with that 45 million reals of normalized profit, Al Salam losses were of 10 million. So they reduced our profit. So if you add them back up, they are at 55. And then we have extra around 10 million of ECL provision that we have not written back at currently because we're still negotiating with the insurance companies for lower rejection rates. So, and then there's some idle land penalty that were levied on us by the government for Nargis land because we had not started construction of around 3 million, these are one-offs. So, if you look at it this way, then we have, reached those same margins as last year. And so the ECL provisions are temporary. We don't expect them to be permanent. We expect them to be reversed in the first half of 2025. Salam, as you've seen, have improved its performance. We do expect the turnaround to happen sooner. So they should be contributing positively as well and not dilute our margins. And the idle land as well, we're not expecting those penalties to be recurring because the construction has started in the Nargis land.
Clear. Thank you, Dr. Dr. Aziz.
Our pleasure.
Thank you. We have some text questions. We have Adnan Farooq with Jadwa Investment. What were the main reasons behind the substantial increase in G&A expenses? Is the run rate G&A expenses for Q4 24 the base going forward? The data supplement shows that net receivables increased year over year from SR 532 million to SR 605 million. However, the gross receivables have increased more materially according to the presentation from SR 659 million to SR 934 million year over year. Can you please explain the difference between the growth in gross and net receivables?
So the first part of the question was, I'm sorry, I forgot. What was the first part of the question before receivables?
The GNA.
Yeah, so the Q4 GNA, if you're comparing with Q3, is higher, and that's mainly because of Al Salam GNA being brought in, plus the idle land penalty that we've paid. There has been an increase in the BOD fees, which was approved in late September by the AGM, so that was recorded in Q4. So that was basically a catch-up. We've done some professional advisory fees in Q4 relating to our M&A pipeline, which is again non-recurring, but it's part and parcel of our implementation of our strategy. So we've also added 3 million riyals in payroll, which is to support the head office, plus, you know, the Al Salam GNA also coming in. So apart from the payroll, the M&A costs are something that the advisor costs are something that are there, but they cannot be, they're not recurring in nature. They appear when the we are undergoing a transaction or we are considering a transaction. As far as receivables go, yes, we've had receivables coming in from Al Salam, and we've had a slower recovery from insurance in Gosi, and they're going up. But Adnan, I would suggest that to go into more detail on this, we get on a call one-on-one and I'll explain your query to you.
Thank you. We have Faisal Asimilan with Alpha Capital. Out of the SAR 129 million receivables aging plus 1 year, how much of that attributed to Al Salam, and what are your plans to collect them?
So less than 1 year, our normal course of business. I am sorry, I don't have the exact percentage, how much of it includes for Salam, but most of their patients are either insurance or some Minister of Health now as well. And we've spoken to all the insurance companies. They're very happy with CARE taking over the hospital. And we have a very good working relationship with them, and we don't feel that we will have any issues in collecting these receivables.
Thank you. What are your expansion plans along with their timeline?
So I think, look, I think this is a very broad-based question. Again, from an expansion standpoint, our broad-based strategy calls for us to significantly scale up our business over the coming years. Now, there is a part of that that's going to be obviously organic, and this you have seen with us, you know, increasing bed capacity in our Mullahs branch, and we will continue to look at scaling up bed capacity in whichever branch it is applicable and makes sense from a return standpoint. And then obviously the other part of it is the our merger and acquisition pipeline, and you have seen that we have added quite a lot of you know, facilities over the years. So we have, you know, we have started building our new Greenfield Hospital in Nerges. We opened up our mental health facility. We bought Al Balad in Jeddah. We opened an urgent care center in Makkah. So, you know, that pipeline continues to grow. And obviously, as and when, you know, we close a deal to a point where it should be announced, we obviously announce it to the market. And we have a pretty active M&A pipeline, which we keep monitoring and working on. And as those things materialize, you can be sure that we'll disclose them appropriately.
So the one that we have on the item is Nerges?
Yeah. So in terms of timelines, just to be clear, the next one on the horizon is basically Nerges, which is likely and targeted to be completed by end of 2027 and operational in beginning of 2028.
Okay.
Yeah, 200 bits, first phase.
Thank you. We have Abdulaziz Alawat with Alimar Investment. Can you give us an idea on the reasons behind the margin decline in 4Q24?
So the margin decline was driven by Salaam Hospital. Of course, they are they're loss-making currently. Plus, we have the relaunch of the Relive Mentors and facility as well. And we've also increased our payroll a little because we've hired some medical professionals, a good qualified workforce, to invest in future revenue growth. So they've put some pressure on our margin in Q4.
Thank you. We have Abdulaziz Al-Qadi with Al Osim Holding Co. Talk us on Salaam operations in the last 3 months. Was it the performance driven by outpatient? Are we looking to allocate a LTC segment in Salaam Hospital? And two, what are the targeted EBITDA net margin for Salaam in short term? And three, what should we expect from Haram this year?
For Salaam, there was a lot of operational improvements. We worked on the patient journey. We changed the IT system. We implemented our new system, which is not only patient-friendly, but also more friendly to the staff, and it will help us integrate the supply chain as well. The rejections have declined because of that, because of technical rejections are taken care of with the new IT system. We mobilized staff to not only physicians, but also admin staff to look into the facility, the patient journey, and that has improved a lot. And that translated into higher patients volume in terms of outpatient and inpatient. That's driven mainly by the insurance companies and the cash patients. We also transfer some of the patients, not a lot, but probably 10% of the capacity of the hospital or less is for the Prince Sultan medical city contract. So we have some long-term care patients from the military hospital, but again, they don't significantly impact the operations, but it's mainly to use the unutilized capacity. Plus with the MOH, we do accept some long-term care patients, but along with the other acute care cases.
Thank you.
For Al Haram, we've already approached Ministry of Health, and they have in principle given us the go-ahead that we can have a license for a hospital. But yes, yet we have to receive their final license for it. However, in principle, they are on board to provide us with this license, and that will give us the ability to admit patients rather than discharging them to other facilities. For now, we are not giving guidance on it, but as soon as we have more development, we will share with the market.
They have specific requests and modifications, so we're working on them, and until we complete the requirements, we're still going to continue to function as an acute critical care. But if we comply with the requirements, that will give us an opportunity to admit the patients, some of them, but not having to transfer all patients who needed transfer to other facilities.
Thank you. One, what led you to increase the ROU? Is Al Salaam Hospital leased? And two, how much was the trade receivables settlement? Number three, is the increase in G&A sustainable, or are there one-offs related to consultancy fees? And four, can you quantify the consultancy fees?
So we haven't given the exact number for the consultancy fee. It is not recurring, but as we have an active pipeline, we do expect to keep engaging with advisors and paying fees to them. So sorry, what was the number one and number two?
Number one was what led to the increase in ROU. Is Al Salam Hospital leased? And two, how much was the trade receivable settlement?
Right of use assets.
Yeah, so the right of use assets were related to Salam because the building is a leased building. So that drove the increase in ROU. Settlement of trade receivables, I'm not sure I get the question. Maybe you can clarify further. Are we talking about the reversal of provisions?
I think it was a type question, so they will have to type.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So there were some legal claims brought on the company of quite a while ago. They were provided for as well. However, based on our current assessment and the view of an independent legal advisor, management assessment was that these provisions are no longer required, and therefore we reversed them, and the auditors agreed with us as well based on the opinion provided by the external lawyer.
Thank you. Could you add some color on the Zakat provision?
On the what? Sorry?
Zakat provisions, I think.
Zakat provisions. So the Zakat provisions that we reversed were relating to previous years, 2015 to 2022. During those years, we had taken a view based on our advice of our tax consultant on what our actual Zakat should be. And that related to mainly to how we treat government receivables. Zakat took an opposite view and demanded we pay extra Zakat on those government receivables as well. We went into an appeal, and the appeal was finally decided in our favor. So that led to the reversal of the provisions, because even though we took the view and submitted lower Zakat, but in the books we provided with the assumption that Zakat is going to disallow this deduction and ask us to pay, and we will not win any appeal. So if on a conservative basis, based on the advice of our accountants and auditors, we took the full provision, but we paid what we thought was due actually. And when the appeal was decided in our favor, we reversed those extra provisions.
Thank you. We have Rana Kamaraj with SICO. What was the reason behind legal provision, which was reversed in 4Q24? And two, compared to revenue-generating potential of Al Haram, what percentage have you achieved?
So I've already explained the legal provisions. So unless there's anything specific on it, people may ask and I reply. However, I've already covered that. Regarding Al Haram, we are not giving guidance as of our expectations, but suffice to say that yes, we do expect it to contribute to the top line and the bottom line, but we also see it as more of a marketing tool and our access to the Ministry of Health and Ministry of Hajj. By partnering with them, we do get a privileged position in terms of our relationship with them. So there's a twofold benefit of running the Haram branch.
Thank you. We have Faisal Aslam with Alpha Capital. Any guidance that you can share with us on Al Salam Hospital?
Not really, because that's not our policy, but what we can say is that, as we've said earlier, that Al Salam has performed better than even what we expected, and we do believe that the turnaround can be achieved sooner than the typical 12 months to 12, 24, 1 to 2 year time span that hospitals generally take. We will be in a better position to judge this turnaround time when we report Q1 numbers.
Thank you. We have another follow-up question on the phone from Michelle Awatry with SNB Capital. Please go ahead when you're ready.
Hi, Jaz.
Can
you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, so just one question, one more question on prices. I remember that on our last call, you said that our contracts are up for renewal in 2025 and we're expecting price increases. Any update on that?
Yeah, so the contracts are up for renewal in October of 2025. One is in October, one is in June next year, which with the larger payers. We've already started conversing with them. We have two choices. One of them is willing to renew the contract now at higher prices, but of course they want something in return as well. So it's a negotiation that's going on at the moment. It is time consuming. It does take a lot of time for insurance companies to revert back to us with a counter proposal. So we're working on those negotiations. But in any case, quarter four, we should see something, hopefully.
Perfect. Thank you, Jeff. That's it from my end.
You're welcome. Can we have last question now, please?
We currently have no questions registered at this time, but just as a reminder, for a final question, please press star one. Otherwise, you can type your question today.
I can ask a last question. I mean, if you can just kind of help us understand a bit better in terms of growth, top line growth into 2025, what are we looking at in terms of potential for growth? So we're looking at 180, 190 beds coming already out of the 250 beds within the principal town. That leaves somewhere around the 80 to 90 beds in Riyadh. That are relatively available for insurance and cash payers. Is that fair to assume? And for Al Salam, are kind of the turnaround, should we expect more revenues within this asset, or the revenues are already kind of optimal to an extent? However, any high inefficiencies and overspend is the problem that you are looking at.
Okay, so I'll answer the Salam part first. Definitely, there is more room for improvement. It's a general hospital. The contracts aren't very good, but we have been able to increase revenue and drive efficiency without negotiating any of the contracts as yet. But yeah, we are going to be looking into discussing with the insurance company that these contracts need to be revised. The prices seem very low for us, to us, even for a Class C facility.
And also the occupancy rate when we took over Al Salam was in the 40s range. That has improved a lot towards the end of the year. It's 75 bed occupancy rate. So there was a lot of improvement, but there is still more room for improvement and improving on the revenue. And we're seeing more patients coming to the outpatient clinics and the emergency room as well. So in terms of outpatient and patients, both, which we have seen an increase from October until December.
Clear.
Now, as far as the remaining unoccupied beds of care legacy facilities are concerned, we don't give guidance, but it is a fair assumption that because those beds are not taken up by Prince Sultan Medical City as of yet, We do have an opportunity to use them for acute cases, and that's what we're aiming for. However, if Prince Sultan does come to us and transfers more patients to us, we cannot refuse them. But if they don't, we are not going to pick up the phone and ask them to send more patients.
And now, instead of two facilities, we have three facilities.
Yeah.
To distribute the patients around.
Okay. Clear. Thank you. I think this brings us to the end of our call. Unless you have some kind of remarks.
Thank you, Tariq, and thank you everyone for joining us today. We're happy with our achievements in 24, and we look forward for the year of 25, and inshallah you will hear better news for the year. So thank you again, everyone, and wish you a pleasant afternoon.
Perfect. Thank you, everyone, for joining, and have a good rest of the day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for attending today's call with CARES. You may now disconnect, and please enjoy the rest of your day. I'd like to thank you all for your participation in today's call.